Morning, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order, 24th of February, 2020. With me today is Senator Bishop, Senator Olson, Senator Wilkowski, Senator Hoffman, and Senator Von Imhoff will not be joining us. And the other member, Senator Wilson, may join us later, depending on his schedule. Today we have two work items on the agenda. We're going to start with the governor's confirmations, dealing with the University of Alaska Board of Regents. Then we'll continue on to the Alaska Mental Health Board of Trustees. When we finish that work order up, we'll go on to the second item on the agenda, which is the first hearing on Senate Bill 47, relating to the practice of physical therapy and occupational therapy. That will include some invited testimony and public testimony. And again, that is first hearing on that particular piece of legislation. A brief at ease. I guess we're going to reorder the work order today. We're going to start with the bill, if the bill presenter is ready. And I would highly recommend, if you want the Senate Finance Committee to consider your name for consideration, you better be on time. We're going to have a hearing on this bill. And if those appointees are not online, we will set their name aside. With that, we are going to jump Senate Bill 47, relating to the practice of physical therapy and occupational therapy. This will be the first hearing on the bill. We'll hear from the bill sponsor. We'll take invited testimony, and we'll have public testimony. This bill is sponsored by Senator Giesel, and she has her trusty, experienced staff member, Jane Conway, to do the presentation. If she can come forward. Ms. Conway, you've been here many times, so if you could go ahead and briefly introduce yourself for the record, who you represent, and give us a little bit of background, and then take us through the bill. And if you could you sit in the middle seat if you're by yourself? It makes it easy for all the committee members to see the middle versus the sides. Yes, go ahead.
Good morning, members of the Senate Finance Committee. Keeping us on our toes, switching the order, Senator Giesel is probably on her way, as I just texted her, we'd be up in a half an hour. So I will start with Senator Giesel's talking points. My name is Jane Conway, staff to Senator Kathy Giesel. At the request of members of the Alaska State Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board, Senator Giesel has introduced Senate Bill 47. And now we're going to switch seats.
We had to reverse the order due to some folks not being on time. And we appreciate Senator Giesel dashing up the stairs to the fifth floor to present her bill. Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Senator Kathy Giesel, representing Senate District N, and as in November. I introduce Senate Bill 47 at the request of the members of the State Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board. So first, a little background. Who are these people? What is this profession? So occupational therapy is a profession that focuses on improving the client's ability to perform activities of daily living. After an injury, for example, or a stroke, opening a jar, putting on a pair of socks. Physical therapy focuses on the client's ability to perform movements of the human body. Both methods improve and potentially restore functionality, but they also are methods of reducing pain. They both have strict educational requirements. Both require a bachelor's degree. Occupational therapists must achieve a master's degree. Physical therapists require a doctoral degree, a doctor of physical therapy. They both require national board certification and state licensure. So occupational therapists do an evaluation and set goals for patients. They also perform the actual therapy. They're assisted by certified occupational therapy assistants. Those assistants use the information that the therapists themselves have gleaned from evaluation, and the assistants help the patients, the clients, achieve the goals of the treatment plan. Physical therapists are diagnosing patients and developing a rehabilitation program that is tailored to the patient's prognosis. They're also assisted by, this time, physical therapy assistants who prepare the patient when they're being diagnosed and assist in executing the rehabilitation plan. They work under the direction and supervision of a physical therapist. Now to the bill before you. This bill is something that the Board of Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy has been working on for some time. It makes some clarifying changes. It also updates terminology to match those used by national standards. So there are some changes that affect both occupations. First of all, the composition of the licensing board. Currently, the board, as most occupational licensing board, has 7 members. You have that current roster in your packet. You'll see that there's 1 physician, 3 physical therapists or physical therapy assistants, 2 occupational therapists or occupational therapy assistants, and 1 public member. This bill removes the physician. Now, some people might be gasping at that. The reason it's being removed is physical therapists and occupational therapists, but physical therapy used to be supervised by physicians back in the 60s. And that's why a physician was placed on the board. That's actually an obsolete requirement now. And the physician that serves on the board is actually advising that that requirement be removed. So the new board would have 3 physical therapists or their assistants and 3 occupational therapists or their assistants and 1 public member. This bill also revises outdated language related to educational requirements for licensure. In statute, there is named an accrediting entity that no longer exists, and so it's replaced with broader language that, of course, would meet the need as agencies change. The bill also enables the board to discipline a therapist if they commit any acts set out in that section, such as fraud, felony, gross negligence, malpractice, other things, the usual. Senate Bill 47 makes changes related to individuals who completed their education outside of the U.S. It changes the term foreign trained to foreign educated and only mandates an English proficiency test if the foreign degree was taught in a language other than English. Related specifically to physical therapy, the bill changes all references to physical therapy assistant to physical therapist assistant, which is the national terminology. And lastly, it provides title protection. The terms or initials PT, physical therapist, and physiotherapist are attributed to licensed physical therapists, and its misuse is classified as a Class B misdemeanor. So, Mr. Chairman, that is a summary of the changes in the bill. It essentially brings these 2 professions up to date with the rest of the nation. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Do we have any initial questions from committee members on the first hearing of the bill? Okay, seeing none, then we'll go to invited testimony. We'll start with Alec Kay, president of the Alaska Physical Therapy Association. Can you hear me, please? And introduce yourself for the record, who you represent, and speak to the bill. Excuse me, there's in the room. Come forward.
And if it's okay, Scotty Orr is going to testify with me. I'll go first.
Go ahead and sit down and tell us who you are first.
Okay. My name is Alec Kay. I'm a physical therapist from Anchorage, and I represent the Alaska chapter of the American Physical Therapy Association. And with me is my cohort from the Occupational Therapy Association. And if it's okay, we'll testify together.
And he is?
Scotty Orr from the Alaska Occupational Therapy Association.
Yeah, you're in number two position, so that's fine. And my notes did say in person. I skipped over that, went to the offset. So I'm sorry about that, or the off-net. But go ahead, Mr. Kay, you can go ahead and start. And then when you're done, Mr. Orr can do his portion.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and good morning to members. I am honored to be here today in support of Senate Bill 47, and I want to thank Senator Kathy Geisel for sponsoring this bill that was brought up from our licensing board. I appreciate Senator Geisel's description of our profession, and out of approximately 1,200 licensed physical therapists and physical therapist assistants in Alaska, our association represents about 500 of them. As the senator said, our education is currently a three-year graduate degree that results in a doctor of physical therapy. It's a clinical degree. And within our education, we study medical screening, differential diagnosis, and of course, the art and science of rehabilitation. And since the mid-80s in Alaska, physical therapists have had direct access, meaning we can see patients who need our services without a referral from a physician, unless their insurance mandates that. Like a lot of the federal payers require a patient to see a physician, but we do have direct access. And that's part of who we are as a profession, functioning in that independent way. So every day, thousands of Alaskans are cared for and treated by physical therapists and physical therapist assistants with the goal of improving their function and decreasing their pain and frequently decreasing their need for pain medication, even decreasing the cost for imaging and sometimes even decreasing the need for surgery. So we're a safe and conservative approach to a lot of medical problems, and this bill is just really a modernization and cleaning up of a lot of the terminology. Scotty will talk about some of those issues on the bill. The one that I'm going to just reiterate is the protection of the terms that define who we are, and that is, you know, the language states that you need to be licensed as a physical therapist to call yourself a physical therapist or use a credential PT or physiotherapist. Physiotherapist is part of our vernacular in the lower 48 and other countries. It's a common term, and actually in 1922, our association was called the American Physiotherapy Association. And so the reason the board put it on this bill was to help clarify for the public who we are and what we do. So again, thank you very much for this opportunity and for hearing this bill. And if there's any questions, I'll be happy to take them at this time.
Do you have any questions for him? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The bill sponsor talked about the physical therapist being able to go and diagnose. Mm-hmm. So are you able to order lab tests as well?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, We don't order lab tests. We refer to other providers if it's indicated.
If I can continue, Mr. Chairman? As you look at the issues that other health providers have, seems to be the chiropractors and a number of other people have issue with this bill because of the scope of practice, and that's always been an issue with territory and territorial type practices that are out there. Are you opposed to what the chiropractors want, which is under the, I think section 11, it talks about if somebody already has a scope of practice that includes it, that they be grandfathered in?
No, I'm not opposed to that. I obviously represent my members, and so I would take more feedback from my members, but this isn't really a scope of practice issue from our perspective in terms of what we're doing, and we're not looking to encroach on what people are already doing. And I can't speak for all the chiropractors, but I've spoken individually to several, and they have no interest in using the term physiotherapist to describe themselves, and that's the term we're looking to put in our act, and to encroach on them doing physiotherapy is not what we're trying to do here.
Last comment, Mr. Chairman. It has to do with the, as this bill's sponsor pointed out, it's a misdemeanor to go ahead and misrepresent yourself, and that's what caught everybody's attention, is that when you start having legal action brought against you because of whatever you're advertising as, it tends to, you know, put a bump in the road there. Yeah. So with that, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Have any other questions from Mr. Kay? Seeing none, we'll go on to Mr. Orr. If you could maybe again start your presentation by identifying yourself for the record, who you represent, and then speak to the bill, please.
This is Scotty Orr, president of the Alaska Occupational Therapy Association. And in addition to what Alec had said, the occupational therapists that I represent, about 120 in the state of about 500 that are licensed. And we are in agreement with the Senate Bill 47, changing the physician on the licensing board to another occupational therapist, as the physician has for several decades not been directly supervising OTs or PTs. And that brings it into a more balanced licensing board with three members from each profession. It also clarifies the requirement for an English or a foreign educated therapist, as well as removing a English language proficiency exam for those that have potentially been trained in an English speaking country. It decreases the amount of hurdles that a therapist coming to work in the state might have to go through in order to become licensed, which will then provide more access for Alaskans to occupational therapy and physical therapy services.
Have any questions for Mr. Orr? Seeing none, thank you. Next up, Sarah Chambers. Ms. Chambers, if you can identify yourself for the record, who you represent, and speak to the bill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Sarah Chambers. I'm the director of the Division of Corporations, Business and Professional Licensing. We administer the activities of both the Board of Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy, as well as the Board of Chiropractic Examiners. And I'm primarily here to speak to the fiscal note, but I'm happy to answer any questions the committee may have.
Okay, do we have any committeemen questions? Senator Wolakowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do we know how many foreign educated applicants there are who are physical therapists?
Through the chair, Senator, I don't have that information. I can find out if that's something that we track.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Ms. Chambers, do you have any issues with the bill from your perspective?
Mr. Chairman, the administration has no issues with the bill. We are working with the both of our boards to try to find some middle ground language regarding the physiotherapist section, but this is essentially a modernization cleanup bill, which we support.
Okay, thank you. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm assuming the board has the option of having disciplinary action taken against its licensees.
Through the chair, that's correct.
And how many have happened in the recent past, say the last 5 years?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, we have very few investigations of physical therapists or occupational therapists, but I can find out the exact number in the last 5 years.
So less than five?
More than likely.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You could bring back answers to the committee, because this is the first hearing. And Flushing. Any other questions from Mr. Chambers? Okay. Seeing none, thank you. That concludes our invited testimony, so we'll go continue in the room since we're in the room, and then we'll go to the online testimony. But in the room here, I see there's a Dr. Daniel Holt. If you can come forward. You could. Well, Dr. Holt, if you can introduce yourself for the record, who you represent, and speak to the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am Dr. Daniel Holt. I'm a chiropractor here in Juneau and have been treating patients for 27 years. I'm here representing myself. I'd like to thank Senator Diesel for sponsoring the SB 47. You have been active in working with various professions to update their practice acts. And as a practitioner yourself, you obviously see the importance in doing so. I'd like to focus my comments today on Section 11 of this bill and express my concern about how it will affect my practice and the practices of many other professions. The word physiotherapist is a term that chiropractors use and is in our state regulations. It actually says physiotherapeutics. There is a slight change in the nuance probably, but the wording and the terminology is the same. You can look on whatever form you want to look at, sources, but physical therapists, physiotherapists, physiotherapeutics are very synonymous, and so the language in Section 11 would make me a criminal for doing something I have been trained to do and use on a daily basis in my practice. I know a lot of hard work has gone into rewriting this this bill and the Practice Act by the board, Sarah Chambers, Connie Petz, the licensing examiner that the physical therapists have, and I applaud you all. Having served on the chiropractic board for 8 years, I know what a huge responsibility, task, and sacrifice the members of the board have to make. In saying that, I would humbly request that this term physiotherapist be removed, or the penalty for such practice be removed. If you look at, do a Google search on physiotherapists, it seems like a term started from a German physician in the 1800s, and he was dealing with breast cancer therapy. So if somebody's working with breast cancer therapy and they're not a physical therapist, that would be a conflict of interest. I applaud Mr. Kay and Mr. Scott, and thank you for hearing my testimony and the opportunity to speak to you today. Thanks.
Do we have any questions? No, for Dr. Holt. Okay, seeing none, thank you. We'll go to the online section. We'll start with Leanne Carolthers. She can identify herself for the record and who she represents and speak to the bill, please.
Sure. My name is Leanne Carruthers. I am a physical therapist from Anchorage. I also am speaking on behalf of the Alaska Physical Therapy Association, in addition to what was shared by Drs. K and Orr. I am too grateful for Senator Giesel presenting this bill and thank her for championing this along this way so far. A couple of things that I would like to add to what's been shared by my colleagues is that I'm the physical therapy educator in the group and had the privilege of starting the Alaska, the UAA PTA program, the Physical Therapist Assistant Program. And I am heartily looking forward to the day when I can tell my students that even though we've been telling them they're studying to be physical therapist assistants, you don't have to call yourself a physical therapy assistant on your license, and your new license will say physical therapist assistant, which is something that's been in line with practice in the United States for decades and decades. So Alaska is way behind on that. And that's just one example of the improvements that can be made by this bill. I will say, in response to the test just provided by Dr. Holt, I believe, the intent of the language in Section 11, restricting the use of the term physiotherapist to use by licensed physical therapists only, is not to prevent anyone who does physiotherapy or physiological therapeutics or any derivation thereof saying that is what they do, but simply to call themselves a physiotherapist and use that title. So I would just like to have that be something that's very clear to the committee, that in no way are we attempting to encroach on anybody's ability to do what they are licensed and qualified to do. Again, thank you very much for allowing me to testify, and I am available for questions should you have them.
Thank you for your testimony. We'll go to the next individual. Keith Porbaugh and Wasilla?
Yes, sir. That's Keith Porbaugh.
Go ahead and
My name is Keith Porbaugh. Yes, my name is Keith Porbaugh. I'm a licensed physical therapist, and I'm on the Alaska State Licensing Board of Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate Finance Committee, and, of course, many thanks to Senator Giesel for bringing forth this bill, which has been long and waiting. And my membership on the board, I've seen this bill go through many transitions over the past few years, and there's been a lot of work that's gone into it. And I can assure members of the committee and also Dr. Holt and any other chiropractors facing a similar question is that the intent of this bill and the purpose of it is not to restrict anyone's professional practice. In fact, there is not a single change to the scope of practice. It's simply taking a title that has been recognized since the early 19th century as being associated with physical therapists and protecting that title. Just like we did recently where we protected and licensed massage therapists. So essentially by doing that, we gave more validity and credibility to those that want to practice the art of massage. But yet, as a physical therapist, or if someone's a chiropractor, they can still do massage. They're not going to be limited, but they can't call themselves a massage therapist unless they actually meet the licensing requirements. And that's what we're trying to do with physiotherapists. We're not saying that someone can't practice physiological therapeutics like what's defined in the Chiropractic Licensing Practice Act, but we're just saying don't call yourself a physiotherapist unless you meet the standard outlined by the licensing requirements. And I think that gives more credibility to both fields. And it's very important that we recognize that anytime we interact with patients who are seeking help with illness, injury, and disease, that we demonstrate credibility and validity, that we have some standing to offer our services. Because in this day of pain crisis and opiate epidemic, they need to look towards all of us, chiropractors, physical therapists, massage therapists, all of us as being valid providers that can prevent disability and help them heal. And that's what I think this bill does. It just demonstrates that physiotherapist is a title that can be respected, and it's one that allows us to recognize that it's been long associated with physical therapy, and it has its rightful place in our Practice Act. I'd welcome any questions at this time.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. Senator Olson, do you have a question?
Actually, I do, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Forbaugh, you had talked about the title of physiotherapist under Section 11. It was suggested by the Dr. Holt that term be taken away, and I guess that you're opposed to that, but my question has to do with the other provision that he talked about, was having the penalty removed. Are you opposed to having the penalty removed as well?
Through the chair, Senator, I see no problem with the penalty. I think that in most cases, those that are going to be addressing this as a concern would just be simply through a misunderstanding. I don't believe we're going to have a problem with anyone going around and using the term physiotherapist. We're not going to probably use it, and chiropractors probably won't use it either, but we'll all be performing the actual interventions, and that's just fine. So I see no problem with removing any type of penalty, but I think that the title does deserve protection somewhere in our State Practice Act, and the most likely place is a physical therapy practice.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Seeing no other questions, thank you for your testimony. We'll go on now to Sherry Ryan in Anchorage.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Sherry Ryan. I'm the Chief Operating Officer for the Alaska Chiropractic Society. I'm testifying today on behalf of the Alaska Chiropractic Society, which is the members association for the doctors of chiropractic statewide. There are a little over 300 licensed doctors of chiropractic in Alaska practicing in the state, and ACS represents 880 of those chiropractic physicians. Many, if not most of our members, perform physiotherapies in their offices, so we've been watching Senate Bill 47 with interest. ACS would like to thank Senator Giesel for sponsoring Senate Bill 47 and for her leadership on healthcare issues. The reason why we're testifying on the record today is to express our concern about one word in the bill. One word. That word is found in Section 11, and it is the word physiotherapist. As you can tell by the fact that it's bolded and underlined, this is a new title being added. We oppose the term being used in the penalty section of the bill only. The reason we oppose it is because our members offer physiotherapy. They are trained to provide and licensed to provide physiotherapy. The way Section 11 is written, they would become criminals with a Class B misdemeanor if they use the term in connection with their name. The way the bill is written, if one of your constituents was seeking physiotherapy, a chiropractor who is trained and licensed to provide physiotherapy could not tell your constituent that they could treat them without violating the law. We are asking that the committee either remove the word physiotherapist from Section 11 or add a clause that acknowledges that chiropractors can use the term in connection with their name without penalty of law. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. Senator Wilikowski has a question for you.
Yeah, thank you. How many chiropractors actually hold themselves out to be physiotherapists?
Through the chair, Senator, it's not the title physiotherapist. It's where it would lead to term protection for the word physiotherapy that we have concerns. There would be very few, if any, chiropractic that would actually hold themselves out as physiotherapists. It would be the ability for them not to use the word physiotherapy in advertising or in communications with their patients. The way that the bill is written, it says implied.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you for your testimony. Next on the list, Seldotna, Brian Larson.
Yes, good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity to speak. I'm Dr. Brian Larson. I am the I am a chiropractic sports physician, specialty licensed here in the state of Alaska, and currently am the chair of the Chiropractic Board of Examiners. As Ms. Ryan I think well explained, the concern that the chiropractic board and the chiropractic profession has with Section 11 of Senate Bill 47 is specifically is that word physiotherapies or physiotherapist. The question was posed, how many chiropractors would hold themselves out as being a physiotherapist? I don't think any of us would use that as our primary title. The same, I believe, would probably apply to most of our physical therapists. I don't know of any of the physical therapists that I work extensively with that would hold themselves out as being a physiotherapist. They're well described and well recognized in their profession as physical therapists. Historically, as we look back through history, both outside the United States and into the U.S., chiropractic and physical therapy really are overlapping developments. Additionally, many of the same principles or physiotherapies that have been developed through technological developments through time are utilized by other professions. Athletic trainers utilize various physiotherapies. Medical doctors, specifically physiatrists, utilize physiotherapies. Some specialized nurses and physical or physicians assistants utilize physiotherapies in the course of their work in dealing with physical rehabilitation of patients. The concern that the board has is the attempt to classify and in essence gain ownership of this term physical therapies or physiotherapies or physiotherapist. This is a word that has developed among the professions over decades and decades, and really is inappropriate for one profession to own the title, especially with penalty involved. I believe that someone practicing the various physiotherapies without proper training should have a criminal penalty attached. As a board, we don't have a problem with that being classified as a Class B misdemeanor. However, for it to be the sole ownership of one profession, and a profession that I don't believe identifies themselves solely with that title, is an overreach into the other professions. We would ask that the word physiotherapies or physiotherapists simply be deleted from this bill, and all of the things left intact. We have no other problems with that. It's well-crafted. We thank Senator Geisel for that. But again, as we would ask that the word physiotherapist or physiotherapies be stricken from this, and I believe that would resolve the issue. As far as concerns, is the concern of standardized level of skill and training that was brought forth by my PT counterpart. That is also a concern that we have as chiropractic physicians, is that there needs to be a specified and designated level of training. In chiropractic, we have a national board exam specifically that is only dealing with physiotherapies. We have four national board exams dealing with chiropractic and diagnostics and all the other things associated with our practice, and then an additional fifth board exam that focuses specifically on physiotherapies. And in order to be licensed as a chiropractor in the state of Alaska, it is required that all applicants pass that examination. So again, thank you to Senator Geisel for this bill. We thank our physical therapy counterparts for the great work that they do. You know, it's the best opportunities that I have in helping rehabilitate patients and get them back to full and pain-free functioning, full capacities in their life, is when we have a chiropractor, when we have a physical therapist, when we have an entire medical team that are working together for the benefit of the patient. And again, we just simply ask that the term physiotherapist be stricken from this.
Okay, thank you. We have Senator Olson has a question.
Dr. Larson, yes, thanks for coming out this morning as the chair of the board. My question to you has to do with, since you have a wider breadth of what's going on politically, what do other states do in terms of this physiotherapist term that's causing us a fair amount of heartburn?
What does
Montana do?
I missed one word. What do was it chiropractors or who?
I'll have Senator Olson restate it. Senator Olson.
Yes, Dr. Larson. What do other states do in terms of this term, the physiotherapist, that's giving people heartburn?
So other states?
Yes.
Yes. From what I understand, is that's a term that's kind of widely left alone. This is a point of contention, again, as often places or oftentimes it's viewed as a turf war. Is each of us in our own respective professions are trained to use this for the benefit of our patients, the various therapies in chiropractic law in the state of Alaska. It's very physiological therapeutics, as Dr. Holt discussed, are very, very, very clearly defined. The different types of modalities, whether it's air, light, oxygen, electricity, all those various forms, it's well defined what a chiropractor can do and utilize there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
But across most states,
thank you for your testimony, Mr. Larson.
National Board of Chiropractic Examiners and the Federal
Mr. Larson,
Licensing Board.
Thank you for your testimony. Do you have any other questions for Mr. Larson? Okay, seeing none, thank you. That concludes the offline, but I do have a couple. Yeah, I got one person in the room, Ruth Kostick. Does she want to speak at all? Okay, just checking. That's what it says, your questions. And then there's one other person on the list that is all the call-ins taken off the list? Okay, we're missing one here in the written. So is there anybody in the room wants to come forward and speak on this bill? Seeing none, that'll conclude the public testimony portion. I'd like to have the bill sponsor come forward, please. And within the preliminary wrap-up of the first hearing, Senator Giesel, do you have any comments that you'd like to make before we set this bill aside for further review?
Thank you, Mr. Sherman. I appreciate all of the testimony from both the physical therapists and the chiropractors. Mr. Chairman, I have given you a copy of a potential amendment that could be made to the bill. The term physiotherapist is used in Canada. We have a lot of Canadians in Alaska, and so that term is not foreign to them. But regardless, in Section 11, a subsection B could be added that would read, "This section does not apply to a person in the state under a statute outside this chapter who performs physiotherapy within the scope of practice for which that person's license was issued." In other words, anyone for whom physiotherapy is in their scope of practice would not be affected by this bill. It's terminology that's used in other professions as well, Mr. Chairman, and I believe would meet the needs for the chiropractors and others that do physiotherapy, which is actually the act of therapeutics on a human body. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, so we have a potential solution to the main concern of the bill. We'll have the bill sponsor work with the related professions and committee members, any issues they may have. Senator Olson, you have a question?
Senator Giesel, as I'm understanding the amendment, you're not grandfathering chiropractors, and those people that have been graduating from school, have had the training, will be allowed to do that within their scope of practice. Is that correct?
Senator Olson, through the chair, absolutely. Grandfathering implies that the person is outdated somehow. Not at all. This is completely respecting all scopes of practice.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other final questions for the bill sponsor? Okay, we'll go ahead and I'll have the bill sponsor work on these issues, the committee members, and we'll bring this bill back at a future date. Thanks, everybody, for their testimony today. We'll have a brief at ease. Come back on the record. We're now going to go to governor's appointments. We're going to start with the University of Alaska Board of Regents. We have an appointee. I'm going to garble up the name a bit. Garrett, they could introduce themselves for the record, who they represent, and speak to why they should be reappointed.
Good morning, Senators of the Senate Finance Committee. My name is Cache Garrett, G-A-C-H-E-T. Garrett is G-A-R-R-E-T-T. I am serving as the student regent for the Board of Regents for the 2019 to 2020 term, subject to legislative confirmation. I'm calling from Fairbanks, Alaska, and if I may, sir, I'd like to do a land acknowledgement.
Could you repeat that, please?
Yes, how's my volume? Can everyone hear me, or shall I start again?
No, we could hear you, but I didn't get your last sentence. You asked for permission to do something?
Yes, sir. I would like to launch into my opening statement, which begins with a land acknowledgement, if that's all right.
I'm not hearing that. Senator Wilson, can you help me with that? What's she asking?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I think she wants to go ahead and state where she wants to give acknowledgement to the ancestral lands of which she's speaking on today.
Okay. You could present your dissertation for your reappointment any manner you so choose.
Thank you, sir, and thank you, Senator Olson. Through the chair, I would like to acknowledge that I am calling from the Tras Yedda territory of the Lower Tanana people, the land known as Fairbanks. I live on this land at the University of Alaska Fairbanks campus, and I am delighted to have an opportunity to connect telephonically with you all today.
Okay.
I would also like to express my gratitude to Governor Dunleavy and his team, Director Rotako and Courtney Enright, for selecting me from the group of highly qualified individuals for this position and for having faith in my ability to lead at this most challenging time. I am assured and do appreciate the legislature and their confirmation and vote of confidence in me as well. I would also like to acknowledge my fellow regents, particularly fellow newbie regents like myself, Regents Bania and Hargrave, and Regents O'Neill, Hughes, and Tuber. I'd like to acknowledge my chair, Sherry Beretta, and my former chair, who introduced me to the Board of Regents business, Chair John Davies, who is the chair of the Title IX committee, which I serve on, and Chair Karen Perdue, who is the chair of the Academic and Student Affairs Committee that I serve on. And a special thank you to Regent Lisa Parker, who has emerged as my mentor on the Board of Regents. It is an honor to serve alongside them all. And I foremost, of course, want to uplift my gratitude to God, who is the one who is truly responsible for putting me here and purposing me in this position at such a time as this. I'm deeply grateful. I'd like to also express gratitude to my mentors, who have guided me these many years along the way, Dr. Jean Ritchie, Professor Emerita at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and Mrs. Dixie Belcher, who is my hero and a light in my life. She, you may know of her, has a legislative citation for her work, her peace and service work in reconnecting families along the Siberian-Alaskan border who was separated during the Cold War. I also want to acknowledge my mother and my father, my mom, who is turning 70 this year, and raised me to be comfortable with heavy topics such as death and dying, and an understanding that heavy topics are absolutely a part of life, and change and transformation are absolutely a part of life. And I want to acknowledge my father for perhaps unwittingly cultivating the seedlings of leadership within me from the time I was a small child, saying to me on the daily, Cache, do not be a sheep. And you can imagine me rolling my eyes at my poor father, thinking, what is he even talking about? But I get it now. I also want to acknowledge my faculty for their unyielding support of my work at this time, which sometimes pulls me from class. You may know that I'm a graduate student at this time at the fine university in Fairbanks there. And I must acknowledge the students of Alaska whom I serve and who I use
if I could interrupt for a minute.
For.
If I could interrupt for a minute, I'd really like to hear why you should be reappointed to the Board of Regents. I want to know about your education. I want to know about your work history. I want to understand your position on the appropriating powers of the legislature and its interaction with the university, and where you think the university should go. So I'd really like to bring the subject matter back to the point in front of the committee, is to hear why the committee should support your reappointment to the Board of Regents.
Thank you, sir. This is the co-chair speaking to me, correct? Co-chair Stedman?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for your question, sir. Let's take one at a time. And may I just say that I was headed there directly in my acknowledgement of the students, just expressing my gratitude to them for the ability to work for them at this time. My education is that I studied, well, I had an opportunity to go to university outside of our state. And when I went to tour, I decided there is no place better to study higher education than Alaska. I came home to Palmer, where I was born and raised, and determined that I would go to University of Alaska Southeast, my alma mater, where I acquired my four-year degree in 2008, studying human communication with interpersonal and intercultural focuses. Fast forward many years, I decided to become a massage therapist, and I studied in the island of Maui, Hawaii, for 1 year under Gina Naluai, and I am a licensed massage therapist in the state. Fast forward from there, and it was time to become a graduate student, and I looked to California to offer me the program that I needed and wanted, and determined straight away that, again, no place better than Alaska to get my degree, and that is how I landed in Fairbanks, which is my third community of home in Alaska. And I'm loving being there and serving in this capacity. It's my fourth semester of graduate school, but I am above and beyond committed to my work as a student and as a regent, and I determined that I will be there for about 4 years. I am self-funding my education, and I'm studying many, many things, primarily the intersection of communication and leadership, all things Alaska and the Arctic and the circumpolar north, and the needs of the state in the near future, with a focus on climate and global changes. My work history is always in the realm of health and wellness and service, and I've worked at SEARCH, the Southeast Regional Health Consortium, in the field of health promotion and diabetes prevention, and I've worked also under Brenda Hewitt at the United Way of Southeast as the campaign director. And as I mentioned, I am currently a licensed massage therapist.
Okay, and can you speak to why you'd want to be on the Board of Regents and give the committee members some indication of what are your thoughts or the direction of the of the university, where it should go, and how it should deal with budgetary constraints it faces along with the legislature.
Thank you for the question, sir. I would like to serve on the Board of Regents because I am a highly qualified applicant for this position. I represent three communities in Alaska. I understand my state, and I love my state. I'm from the Matsu Valley. I've lived in Juneau about 20 years, and now in Fairbanks a year and a half. Serving with the board is absolutely the highlight of my experience as a student leader in the state of Alaska, and it's training me for state leadership, which is absolutely my calling. The direction of the university is, I want to assure you that it is going forward. I am not going to lie and say that this is an easy time. This is absolutely a most challenging time for the university, and it's critical that we are all focusing on the needs of the university as the brain power of this state. And we will continue to need the support of the legislature and the governor as we move forward. But I want to liken it to an analogy, if I may. Imagine, if you will, a caterpillar. And I do not wish to demean this beautiful caterpillar, but I just want to acknowledge that it is limited to the ground and the plants that it can climb upon. We are a caterpillar in a cocoon right now. We are going through a metamorphosis. In this process, the caterpillar literally metabolizes itself as it grows a new body and becomes something improved. It's a painful process. The caterpillar emerges a beautiful, high-flying butterfly. The university is having a challenging time. This is an understatement, if you will. We will get through it. Together, we will emerge stronger and a better version of ourselves. To be perfectly honest, the university is undergoing a dark night of the soul. Now, this is necessary for the transformation that we are seeking. I am very confident we are going to get there.
We have some questions here.
Yes, sir.
So, Senator Wilson, and then we'll go to Senator Wilikowski.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I have two questions, if I could.
Go ahead.
The first one, I just want to get a confirmation. This is the student board position that she's applying for, Ms. Garrett?
If you can help.
Through the chair, thank you, Senator Wilson, for the question. I am serving the two-year term that commenced in June 1st of 2019, subject to legislative confirmation, of course. It is my first appointment, so this is not a reappointment, to clarify. I am being newly appointed to the board for the two-year term.
Okay.
And it's titled the Student Regent.
And then the second question is, when do you plan to complete your degree from the University of Fairbanks?
Through the chair, thank you, Senator Wilson. I intend to graduate in December of 2021, and this is because my two-year degree, I was 1 year into my degree when I was nominated to the board. I effectively restarted my two-year graduate degree at that time, as the commitment is 2 years. Now, I know that other regents, student regents would graduate and resign and move on, but that is not my intention. My intention is to serve to the best of my capability at the highest level that I've ever served with all that I am and all that I have for these 2 years. So that puts me at a full 3 years of graduate school. But because I tend to be an overachiever and a high achiever, I'd like to, once I am done with my service on the board, have a full summer and a full semester to apply myself to the completion of my thesis and my defense process, which you're all invited to.
You have a follow-up, Senator Wilson?
I do. With that, reading your biography, you say that you have plans to run for state office upon completion. Just wondering how that may interfere with your aspirations for wanting to run for state office may interfere with your duties as a regent.
Well, it doesn't actually. In no way, shape, or form. Completely separate. The calling to be a leader of the state, that's a calling that I will answer, that I must answer. The reason I'm alive on the planet, if you will. And it's a future, it's an aspiration for my life. I am not a politician. I am a public servant. And I enjoy the service to the people of Alaska and the state of Alaska. And we are coming into highly challenging times across our state. I know I don't need to tell you all the things on our list that we will have to tackle in the near future, but I know that I'm up to the task, and it is separate and after my graduate studies. The graduate program is the initial first step. I'm training myself for future state leadership. Does that answer the question, sir?
Senator Wilikowski.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Normally I think we usually get a biography of the board appointees, and we don't have one for you. So under the statutes, there's a requirement that regents take 9 credits, be enrolled full-time, and have a cumulative GPA of 2.5, and I assume you meet those requirements?
Through the chair, thank you, Senator Wilikowski, for that question. Yes, indeed. Yes, I do. 9 credits per semester, and it's quite fun and quite a lot of work.
Follow up?
And then I just was looking on the Board of Regents page and noticed in one section it says that you're actually on your bio on the Board of Regents page says you're studying professional communication, but then there's an interview with you where it says you're working towards a master's degree in Arctic and Northern Studies.
Through the chair, yes, that is correct. I came to UIF to be a teaching assistant in the professional communication program and learned quickly that I was communicating professionally for many, many years in my career work and in my advocacy, and it wasn't quite the exact program for me. Communication is a priority and a high, high value in my life, so I will always be a scholar of communication, and I continue to study communication. I'm 1 year into that degree, and I do intend, I want to say 90% intention, to complete that degree as well. The Arctic and Northern Studies program emerged during my first year at UIF as the better, more appropriate for what I intend to do with my life degree for me. And I am studying under Drs. Mary Erlander and Brandon Boylan at this time.
Follow up?
Yeah, and then just, have you ever been disciplined at UAF, or were you asked to leave the communications program?
I was not asked to leave the communications program.
You were not asked?
And I have not technically, sir?
I'm sorry.
Oh, through the chair, I've not actually formally left the communication program.
Go ahead.
And I do consider myself an interdisciplinary student, which is the way of the future.
Senator Wilikowski.
So just, you have you ever been disciplined at UAF, or you're saying you were not asked to leave the communication program?
Yes, I have not been disciplined. I was let go of my position as a TA, and I'm grateful for it because it allowed me to join the Student Senate, which is very comfortable territory. You may have seen on my bio that I'm a former student representative at University of Alaska Southeast, as well as MATSU College campus, and I'm quite accomplished in this. My natural leadership capability makes it so that some people do not understand my diligence in advocacy for what I believe is right. And I would say that, yeah, some people find my personality a bit strong, but the deal with that is I'm so grateful that I have such a strong personality and that I know myself so well and that I know my purpose to serve my people in my state, and I make no apologies for that. I absolutely know who I am and what I'm here to do. And when you're in leadership, not everyone is going to like you, and that's just how it is, but I'm so grateful for any experience I've had at UIF because it's led me to where I am today to serve in this capacity. Thank you for the question.
Follow up, Senator Wilikowski?
Yeah, so if you can just, so you were asked to leave the communication?
No, sir, I'm not sure I'm understanding the question. I'm a student enrolled in the communication department.
Right, were you asked?
And I was there.
You said
preliminary reason for attending UAF was to be a TA. That didn't work. I could go into it more with you, but I'd prefer to have that conversation off record due to the sensitivity. I don't want to cause offense to any of the players involved. But I will say that I was the best TA that ever walked in that communication department, and it's a disservice to the students that could have studied with me, to be perfectly honest, but it's okay. I positively impacted the lives of the 19 students that I taught that first semester, and they sing my praises, and they loved what I taught them. I taught them way more than public speaking. I taught them improvisation, to warm them up and get them out of their way. I taught them advocacy and empowerment, and I taught them to be prepared, you know, in the state of crisis. And it's apropos that I was asked to not return as a TA, but to indeed continue studying in the program, because it opened the door for what I'm really meant to be doing. So there's no negative here. I just really want to convey that to you, Senator Wilkowski. There's all positives here, all forward movement.
Senator Wilkowski.
Who asked you to leave the being a TA, and why?
The chair of the department.
The chair of the department?
Yes, sir, through the chair. The chair of the department is a really wonderful person. He is respected and revered in our community, as am I. And it baffles me to this day that two people who are well respected and admired can't seem to work it out. But it comes down to communication, and the communication was never invited to reach a place of resolution, which I'm sorry to say that that is the reality, but I'm also pleased that I was able to learn through this and navigate through just, you know, how important communication is and how it is always necessary, always.
Okay. Do we have any other questions for the applicant? Seeing none, thank you for calling in today. That will conclude the University of Alaska Board of Regents. And we'll now move on to
Thank you, Chair Stedman, for this opportunity to connect with you all. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you. Well, now I'll go on to the Alaska Mental Health Trust Board. We have two applicants. And we'll just take them in the order they're here on the list. Ms. Halterman, if she could introduce herself for the record, who she represents, and why we should consider her appointment.
Thank you, Chair Stedman, for allowing me the opportunity to introduce myself. For the record, my name is Anita Marie Halterman. I have been married for over 35 years to my husband, and I have three daughters and two grandchildren that we've raised in Alaska. I'm happy to be a recent selection for the appointment to the Alaska Mental Health Trust Board of Trustees. I actively took a role on the Board of Trustees in August of 2019, and I recently assumed the role of Chair of Audit and Risk Committee. Despite already starting the work on the trust, I have been anxiously awaiting the confirmation this session. Serving on the Board of Trustees so far has been an amazing journey, one that has expanded my knowledge and afforded me new opportunities to pay it back to society and to learn about new strategies and funding opportunities that can help shape meaningful reform for our program. I would very much like to continue that opportunity and that journey. Some of you may know me from my brief tenure working in the Alaska State Legislature during the 29th legislative session. Well, I met many of you there during that time period. Some of you are new and we have not yet met. While I have reached out to some of you by text, phone, and email already, I have not been able to connect with all of you. That time will come. For those of you that don't know me, I first arrived in Alaska in the mid-1980s after discharging from the United States Army. I followed my husband, who was active duty and was stationed at Fort Greely and Delta Junction. We raised our eldest daughter there during the first few years of her life and fell in love with Alaska. While we watched the economy suffer and had to leave Alaska for a brief time, we came back as soon as we were able, and we have lived in Eagle River, Alaska for over 25 years since returning to Alaska. I earned my MBA from Wayland Baptist University in Anchorage, and I have extensive background working mainly within the Department of Health and Social Services Medicaid programs in both Iowa and Alaska, spending my last 7 years with DHSS Senior and Disability Services, serving as a program manager and a supervisor. I also have experience working with child support, the Department of Corrections, public safety, and public assistance programs. I have worked for the state of Alaska for approximately 19 years, and I have another 6 years of experience working for the state of Iowa. I have worked through welfare reform initiatives in two states and kicked off Alaska's first food stamp reinvestment plan after Alaska DHSS programs had been sanctioned for higher rates in the 1990s. I train staff on regulations, program and policy in the welfare offices in and throughout Alaska, developing program and working to reduce error rates. I have devoted my life's work to working with populations that are underserved. I find it rewarding to improve programs and the systems that they rely on in order to allow for the provision of better services to the beneficiaries of our program. After leaving the Alaska State Legislature, I started working on my own consulting business, joining the ranks of the private sector. I obtained licenses as an insurance producer with lines of authority in Alaska in accident, health, and life, and with lines of authority in Washington for life and disability. I also began working with an information technology company as an account executive. Positioning risk management and human resource solutions for businesses has given me a new perspective about the healthcare needs for privately insured individuals, and it has expanded my understanding of the more global workforce issues Alaskan businesses face as we move forward. I very much hope to take my experience and help reform programs for the future so that we can sustain them for the populations that need them most. I look forward to continuing to work to improve the lives of our trust beneficiaries as we work in partnership with DHSS and other stakeholders to build an integrated, comprehensive mental health program that better meets the needs of our trust beneficiaries. Thank you for your consideration. I appreciate your support, and I look forward to working with you all to protect the trust and maximize its benefits to solve Alaska's mental health problems. Thank you.
Do we have any questions from committee members on Ms. Alterman? Could you please restate how long you've served on the board?
Yes, Chair. I started on the board in August of 2019. I have filled out Paula Easley's appointment.
Are you familiar with the audit that was done concerning some portfolio holdings of the Mental Health Trust?
Yes, Chair. I have been reviewing that audit and having discussions, obviously, about that audit and the real estate holdings that the trust has currently maintained.
And do you have a position on that?
Well, my observation is that those real estate investments are doing rather well, and the trust has made the permanent fund whole with regards to the financial investment that should have been made in compliance with state law. I firmly believe that we should follow the law. If the law is broken, we need to work to fix it, and that's where we should work cooperatively with your body, sir.
Okay. So I interpret your answer as the answer is the status quo. There shouldn't be an acceleration of moving those real estate assets. Is that correct?
Chair Stedman, my understanding is those real estate assets are gaining the trust better returns on our investments than other investments. So for now, as long as the financial holdings maintain the value that they do, I don't personally have a problem with maintaining those assets. I do understand the past practice of investing was not appropriate. I would not recommend we make that decision again in the future. However, I could be convinced to liquidate those assets if indeed I could be convinced that there would be a better return on investment.
Okay. We have other questions for her? Okay, thank you very much. We'll go on now to the next applicant, Rhonda Boyles.
Good morning. My name is Rhonda Boyles from Fairbanks. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good morning, Senator Stedman. Thank you for considering me for confirmation as a trustee for the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority. I do represent the Interior. I'm not sure if you all have my resume, but I would prefer not to go through it line by line. I'm getting too old. There's a lot on it. It's very diversified. But I have lived in Alaska since 1975, and most of that time in Fairbanks. My husband and I left in 2016 for a three-month vacation in Phoenix. And while we were there, husband was diagnosed with a very complicated diffuse Lewy body disease that eventually stole his brilliant mind, and he died in April. But during that three-year period, we could not come back to Alaska, mainly because he could not travel and secondarily because of lack of knowledge and the applications that the medication would have to be honored by. He was enrolled in Banner Alzheimer Research, and I can thank them for giving me 2 more years of pretty quality life, although that disease is very fast-moving, hard to diagnose, and traumatic. You know, I don't have to remind any of you in the room that dementia and mental health is a big part of what the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority works with. I'm now home in Alaska, and I have choices in my life, and one of them is where do I want to volunteer my time? And I would prefer to do that in my home state, Alaska. I think the trust, the Mental Health Trust, is a brilliant entity, and it is positioned to improve the lives of the beneficiaries, their caregivers, and improve their access to good health care. It improves the lives of Alaskans, and in my opinion, that is everybody's responsibility to call this home. We cannot force residents to leave because of lack of services. I was subjected to that, Senator, and it was hard, very, very hard. We're a beautiful state with beautiful people, and we all deserve everybody's best effort for a reasonable quality of life. As I said, my resume is diversified, and my ability and time to attend meetings and volunteer is very flexible. The skills over the years since 1975 till now I have acquired match the needs of the trust and its beneficiaries, as the trust presently matches my needs to serve in a substantive and compassionate manner. Specifically, the skills learned are financial management. My husband and I have various investments, including a trust. I own 3 restaurants, was in business, actually 4, I forget about one, it was so bad, I like to forget about it. I own 4 restaurants for 24 years in the interior, and have served on numerous boards of directors for Alaska Crippled Children and Adults, Rotary, Fairbanks Chamber, VOCAD. I chair the statewide advisory board, fundraising committees. I was on NSTAR's natural gas board. And when I was serving as the mayor in Fairbanks, I was immersed in land management issues and, of course, fairly sophisticated financial management issues. I hid for about 3 years in the Fairbanks Pioneer Home. I have a background when I was in my late teens, early adulthood in nursing. And I thought I wanted to go hide. I didn't want to supervise people. I just wanted to give back to our Alaskans. And it was a fulfilling experience and an educational experience, and one that gave me the skills necessary to employ nurses and keep my husband at home in Phoenix. For that, I'm grateful. I respectfully ask for your support and will gladly answer any questions you may now have or even later. Thank you.
Ms. Boyles, I'd like you to try to respond if you are aware of the audit that was done on concerning Alaska Mental Health Trust. And if you have a position on that particular issue.
Senator, I know just enough to be dangerous. I attended the meeting that I met you all in Juneau. That was a 2-day meeting, and then one beyond that. And in the 2-day meeting, after your questions, I was given a lot of information to read, and again, it was talked about at a 1-day meeting in Anchorage. Coming from that, I would agree with most of the board that those investments may be made outside of what everybody would consider a the parameters that we may operate in. I don't know that specifically, but I only know when you match up private sector and public sector, you sometimes cannot do the things that you wish you could do, even though they may look better or more productive or certainly more financially positive. That may have been the case there, but either way, they've been positive. Maybe more luck than good management, but it appears to me that the board and the administration manage the money to replace the money, and it's still the investments are managing in a positive manner to throw off additional funds for our beneficiaries. I think Anita said it well before me, that we either operate within the parameters of the regulations or advisory opinions, or we've changed the law and the regulations. So for right now, I think that would be something that the board would have to look at in the future.
And we have any other questions?
Now, that's a three-day answer. I hope to give you a better one after a few months.
Do we have other questions?
I just have one comment.
Yeah, go ahead, Senator Bishop.
Oh, good morning, Rhonda. Thanks for putting yourself forward. And I just, for me, you know, I know you, so it's I really don't have much of a question, but a comment. But obviously this was important to you, or you wouldn't have put it in your cover letter. And I just want to read, my mentor, Dr. William Wood, told me more than once that our state is rich in land, resources, and brilliant, strong people. And if we do not develop and protect them, they will cost us more than money. And I'm thinking that made an impact on you, and I hope that's a guiding principle as you go forward, helping sit on the Mental Health Trust Board for our people in Alaska.
Okay. We have any other questions? Okay, I just have a brief comment to both the applicants. There was significant concern over the management of the investment portfolio, which actually triggered the audit. The audit came back with substantial concerns and a significant amount of risk exposure to the general fund treasury potentially. And we have taken action, or should say the Alaska Mental Health Trust Board has taken action to alleviate that exposure and is moving forward, is my understanding, with a potential liquidation of one of the real estate holdings, leaving several others still within the portfolio. And I would encourage the board to continue to look for opportunities to move those holdings off the books, or basically liquidate them when it's appropriate, and to put this issue, this audit issue, behind the Mental Health Trust Board, and to pursue a management strategy going forward to be very cognizant of the constraints in which the Alaska Mental Health has to operate under to continue to have a high level of trust with the legislature. And I recognize the argument that positive performance of their holdings is a benefit to the trust. But I would like to remind both of you that neither underperformance or overperformance is an excuse for not following the guidelines. Underperformance leads to litigation much quicker than overperformance. But what we want to ensure that we don't go down that road, and we're working through this process with the Mental Health Trust trustees, and we will continue to have our auditors review the position of and holdings of the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority. I don't think this issue, frankly, is behind us completely yet, and the quicker it gets to be a closed chapter in the history books of the state, the better. And leaving it open for multiple years, I don't think is personally the right course, but we'll see how that moves forward. And we will be having meetings with our auditors dealing with the financial statements of the, or what we call the single audit, but it's the financial statements of the state coming up here in just a few days. And this will be one of the subject matters of discussion as we go forward. So we're looking forward to working with the mental health trust authorities and encourage them to work with us to again close this rather dark chapter over the mental health trust authority board. So I would hesitate and not advise that the new members get out their rubber stamp and just start stamping opinions, but act independently and have some discussion and get us, help us move forward through this situation. But with that, Senator Bishop, you have a motion, but before that, I'd just like to remind everybody that the upcoming motion does not reflect the intent of any member of the Senate Finance Committee to vote for or against the confirmation of any of the three individuals today, one way or the other. But Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move forward the appointments of Cache Garrett, University of Alaska Board of Regents, Rhonda Boyles, Alaska Mental Health Trust Board of Trustees, Anita Halterman, Alaska Mental Health Trust Board of Trustees, for consideration in accordance with Alaska statute. This does not reflect an intent by any member of Senate Finance to vote for or against the confirmation of the individuals during any further sessions.
We have a motion to move the three names forward. Do we have objection? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move those names forward. That concludes the meeting today. There will be no Senate Finance Committee tomorrow. This will not allow any recess for members of, because we're going to have the Legislative Council convene in this room tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. to review an act relating to oil and gas production, tax payments, and credits. There will be a public hearing on the proposed initiative that's coming to the ballot box. So I would encourage all members in the legislature and aides and the public to pay close attention to this presentation tomorrow. The committee will meet again Wednesday at 9 a.m. We'll take up Senate Bill number 6, the Alaska Reads Act. And for those watching at home, this act deals with the youth of Alaska and trying to put together a program to encourage and enhance the reading ability of our young Alaskans to make their education easier going forward and increase our test scores. So with that, thanks everybody for coming. We are adjourned.